Come, Holy Spirit, take these words to speak to us through them, I ask in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Please be seated. Little 4-year-old Johnny was caught by his mother with his hand in the cookie jar, and his mother said, "Johnny, why can't you be good?" And Johnny said, "Mom, it makes me tired to try to be good." Well, I wonder if that maybe describes some of us. Maybe we're kind of tired of just trying to be good. Certainly, I was thinking this week about Jesus, and I wondered, did he ever get tired of trying to be good? Then I realized that the answer was no, he did not, because he was not trying to be good in his own strength and his own power, but was relying on the strength and power of the Holy Spirit to be good. You see, when Jesus was baptized, it says he was filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came upon him. And then it says that the Holy Spirit led him out into the wilderness for a 40-day period to be tempted by the devil. That's the reason, one of the reasons why we celebrate 40 days of Lent, is to remind ourselves of this story of Jesus going out into the wilderness to be tempted, to take stock of his life, and to remind ourselves that we are to kind of take stock of our own spiritual lives during this 40-day period as well. Turn, if you will, to our gospel lesson today from Gospel of Luke, chapter 4. In the Pew Bibles, that's on page 1598. And we notice a number of things from this passage in Luke, chapter 4. First of all, we notice that Jesus was tempted by the devil. We see in Scripture that the devil is a real person, is a real entity. The devil is someone who can tempt someone. And so we see that Jesus was tempted by the devil. And because Jesus was tempted by the devil, it makes sense that we who are his followers will also be tempted by the devil. We also see that Jesus was not only God in human flesh, but he was also fully human. That he suffered all the things that we suffer in our lives. Look at verse 2. It says that Jesus ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. Jesus had all the same bodily appetites and desires that we have, which is why he could be tempted. And certainly, as Jesus was physically hungry after this 40-day fast, he was hungry because he suffered the same way we suffer when we don't eat for long periods of time. When you're hungry or you're sleep-deprived or when you're unwell, you are much more vulnerable to the temptations and attacks of the enemy. And certainly, Satan believed that that was the case with Jesus. And so he said in verse 3, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. Jesus knew that he was the Son of God. If you remember at his baptism, he heard the voice of his Father saying, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." And so Jesus knew that he belonged to the Father and that the Father loved him. Jesus also knew that he had a special power to do the miraculous. And certainly he could have turned that stone into bread. But he did not choose the easy way out. Sometimes it's easy for us just to take the easy way out and give in to temptation. Just to say, "Well, I couldn't resist." And so we use all sorts of justifications like, "Well, I've really worked hard lately, so I deserve a little sinful fun." Or, "I've had so much go wrong in my life lately that God won't mind if I give into this temptation just once." Look how Jesus responded to the temptation. He said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." Now, it's interesting that in Matthew's gospel, Matthew adds to those words, and he has Jesus say these words, "But by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." So man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So as we think about that, we wonder, how does that make any sense? I mean, we all know that we live by the food that we eat. So how does the word of God help us to live? Well, obviously, Jesus is talking about here about real life. He's talking about life in the Spirit. He's talking about the fact that we can be physically alive and yet spiritually dead. He's talking about the fact that we can be walking around on this earth, but not really living the sort of life that God is destined for us to live. Certainly, the Word of God can help us to be spiritually alive. It helps us to grow spiritually as well as intellectually and emotionally. Certainly, Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 63, "The words I speak to you are spirit and they are life." The words I speak to you are spirit and they are life. The Bible also gives us an indication of how we can resist sin, resist temptation. In Psalm 119, verse 11, the psalmist writes, "Your word have I hidden in my heart so that I might not sin against you." If you want to be really alive and if you want to have all the tools that are available to help you to resist temptation, to resist sin, then get into the Word of God and get the Word of God into you. You notice that Satan tried immediately to try to get Jesus to question God's Word. He tried to get him to do something that he had been doing from the very beginning when he tried to get Adam and Eve to question God's Word. He said in the Garden of Eden, if you remember the story, he said, "Did God really say that you should not eat of any of the trees of the garden?" And we see that obviously he misquoted what God had originally said, which is what he tries to do today. He tries to get us to look at God's Word in a different way, maybe kind of to adapt God's Word to a modern morality or a modern way of looking at things. He tries to get us to deny the original teachings of Scripture and to try to reformulate them in a way that kind of helps us to maybe accept them a little more today. And that's what he's been doing from the very beginning. He tried to get Jesus to question the goodness of God and the Word of God. And that's what he continues to do with us as well. And so the next temptation of Satan that he tries to do on Jesus is in verse 5. "The devil led him to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, 'I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours.'" Now, Jesus knew that he was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus knew that Satan had no authority to give him any of the kingdoms of the world, that all authority had been given to him by God. So Satan didn't have any authority to give him anything. So Jesus knew right off the bat that Satan's promises were not going to ultimately be fulfilled. And that's what Satan does with us as well. He promises us all sorts of things. He promises us satisfaction. He promises us all the power we need if we would just follow him, or if we would just follow his ways or do things his ways, or maybe even just do things our own way. We find ultimately that when that happens, that the things of this world or the things of Satan never end up ultimately satisfying us. Jesus responded again by quoting Scripture in verse 7. It says, "It is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" One of the temptations that the devil throws at us is to try to get us not to worship God, but to worship something else, or to worship someone else. And if he can do that, then he's accomplished a majority of what he needs to do to help us to no longer become followers of God. We try to find fulfillment in all sorts of things. Sometimes we allow those things to distract us from worship. "It's a sunny day, so I'll just work in the yard today. I'll go to church next Sunday. That's no problem. Or I have a chance to play golf on Sunday, and, you know, God won't mind if I just take the day off. Or I stayed up late last night, and so I could just forego my prayer time in the morning. Or I didn't really prepare to have any money available to give as part of my worship and the offering today, so I'll just give some next week." There are times that we do all sorts of things to try to avoid worship. Obviously, there are times when we can't come to church and that sort of thing. I'm not talking about those times, but Satan would love nothing more than to get us to avoid worship in whatever way he can do that. In verse 9, we see that the devil led Jesus to Jerusalem and had him stand at the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from the temple, because as it is written," again, Satan likes to quote Scripture, "as it is written, the angels will protect you, they'll catch you so that you won't hurt your foot on a stone." Jesus answered, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." The devil wants nothing more than to cause Jesus to kill himself by throwing himself off the temple. He figured perhaps that Jesus had been suffering so much by not eating, suffering so much in the wilderness that he was beginning to lose hope. And so maybe he could tempt Jesus to throw himself off the pinnacle of the temple. I believe that Satan wants to get us to the place where we lose hope in our lives. We lose hope that God will help us in our problems. We lose hope that things will change. We lose hope that God will get us out of our situation. I believe that's why some people end up committing suicide. Because they've convinced themselves they've lost hope, and they've convinced themselves that that's the best way to get out of their problems. That's the easy way out, if you will. That they'd be better off dead. Those who lose hope in God often are putting God to the test by giving up their faith in Him and by thinking that somehow God won't mind if they do something harmful or if they do something dangerous. Those who lose hope in God often get to the place in their life where they really have lost track of everything that they may have learned in their life before that. Jesus placed his life in the hands of the Father and trusted in him to work out his Father's plan throughout the rest of his life to get him through the problems and the temptations that he was facing. When the devil had finished all the tempting, he left Jesus, it says, until an opportune time. That didn't mean that Jesus was going to have an easy road after that, that he was going to have smooth sailing, but that he would in fact encounter other problems and difficulties and temptations. Sometimes we think that when we've overcome a temptation or we've overcome a difficult situation in our life that things should go smoothly, that we shouldn't have any problems, any difficulties. We forget that life is a series of ups and downs, of trials and victories. Satan would, once it will once again bring temptation, will bring trials and testings to us. The book of James says that we are to resist the devil and he will flee from us, but not forever. Jesus was indeed once again tempted to avoid the cross and all that came with that instrument of torture and death. He instead trusted in his Father's plan and ultimately accomplished the salvation of all those who would put their trust in him. So how did Jesus resist all these temptations? Not only did he quote scripture to Satan, but he believed God's word above Satan's word. I also believe that Jesus relied upon a power to allow him and give him the ability to avoid giving in to these temptations. And we have a clue what that power was at Jesus' baptism. When Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit, he received a power that gave him the ability to resist the temptations that Satan threw at him. Certainly, the same power of the Holy Spirit is available to us if we would just ask Jesus to fill us with his Holy Spirit each day as we face the temptations that Satan will bring our way. Let me share with you a story of a Christian named Daryl. He said this, "I had been dating Tori for 2 years and we were involved sexually. I attended a Christian youth camp and gave my life to Jesus. When I got home, I wanted to please my Savior, but when it came to my sexual relationship with Tori, I rationalized my behavior, wanting God to approve. I thought He would understand my needs as a guy. But because I wanted to please Christ, I kept reading the Bible, and I realized that it said I needed to have sexual purity. I realized that this was actually an act of obedience to Christ, and that sex outside of marriage was wrong. I knew, though, that I didn't have the strength to break off my relationship with Tori. So by faith, I asked for the Holy Spirit to empower me to obey Him and to help me to do what I knew I needed to do. The temptation to have sex with Tori was so strong that I realized that we needed to quit seeing each other. When I chose to obey God and broke off my relationship with Tori, the Holy Spirit gave me a tremendous peace and joy. Since that decision, my life has been truly awesome." Daryl took God seriously and ran from the temptation that could have entrapped him and hindered his walk with Christ. By faith, Daryl chose to obey God. Now, our temptations may not be like Daryl's. In fact, they may be quite different. We all face temptations of various kinds. And the promise is, just as it was for Daryl, that the Holy Spirit can help us to overcome those temptations, to overcome those challenges by Satan, if you will. He can also give us the power to endure the trials and the struggles that we go through in our lives. He can remind us that our ultimate hope is found in Jesus Christ. If you come to Islam, you will become super rich. Andrew and his group of young men from a nearby village just listened intently to the Sheikh's words. "You will also be worshiping the real God," he told them. Although Andrew had been raised as a Christian in his Tanzanian village, he was not well grounded in the faith. So he didn't need to think long about the Sheikh's promises before deciding to follow Islam. Andrew was drawn to the teachings and promises of Islam that even the 2-hour walk to the mosque failed to deter him. He was also very attracted by the words of the charismatic Sheikh. "He told us how he killed people," Andrew said. "And if we're going to stand up for Islam, we need to be ready to give our lives and kill the enemy." Andrew was being prepared to join the Somalian Islamic group Al-Shabaab. The Sheikh had plans for Andrew and one day told him that he should kill his parents. "They are infidels and have absolutely nothing they can help you with in your life," the Sheikh told him. Andrew returned home the next day fully intending to kill his parents, but he couldn't bring himself to do it. He then made the long walk back to the mosque and told the Sheikh that he couldn't follow his orders. The Sheikh was not pleased. "You cannot leave with us and join Al-Shabaab unless you kill your parents," he was told. After being pressured a second time to murder his parents, Andrew began to have second thoughts about the instruction that he was receiving at the mosque. "Why is it, since I joined this group, all they talk about is killing people?" he wondered. In that moment of doubt, Andrew said he was filled with grace, especially toward his parents. "I really felt sorry for what I had done and wanted to come back to faith in Jesus Christ," he said. "At that point, I repented." Later on, Andrew made this statement. "Looking back, it was such a move of the Holy Spirit to take me from the point of being ready to kill my parents to realizing that I was wrong and then repenting." He said, "It's a complete miracle. How do I explain being one in one mindset and then all of a sudden something intervenes? I can't count it less than a miracle. I have never felt so much peace." Wondering about us here today. Maybe you're tired of trying to be good. Maybe you're tired of trying to resist temptation. Maybe you're tired of trying to fight all the struggles and the trials that you're going through. Maybe you might want to ask the Lord, "Lord, would you fill me with your Holy Spirit? Would you give me the same power that you had to resist temptation and to overcome the trials and the tests that you had in your life?" And then get into the Word of God and get the Word of God into you. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you have given us an example of how we can resist temptation in our life, how we can survive the trials and tests of our life. Lord, would you help us to be filled with your Holy Spirit? Would you help us each day to ask for that infilling? Would you help us to seek your help whenever we face temptations of various kinds? Would you also help us to put our trust in you, that your ultimate plan for our life will get us through the various trials and tests that we face as well? Lord, would you help us to get into your word and get your word into us so that we might have the tools available to us to help us to fight all of the assaults of the enemy? I ask this in your name. Amen.